Okay, and with that, I'm going to welcome up our next speaker, who is Wendy Bacon. Wendy has been an anti-war and anti-imperialist activist for decades now. She marched against the Vietnam War. She marched against the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. She is an independent journalist, an academic, and an activist. Make her welcome. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you, Josh, and thank you for inviting me to speak today. Can everybody hear me? Well, of course, we stand today on Gadigal country, and as Senator Lydia Thorpe reminded us this week, this land has never been ceded. I give a big call out to Senator Lydia Thorpe, who absolutely demonstrated that you're not going to get anywhere if you have good manners. To those of you today who are here, who've got friends in Gaza, the West Bank or Lebanon, families, extended families, who have to endure the terrible news coming from Israel's slaughter of innocent people, I can only offer you my thoughts, solidarity and support. To those Jewish people who've helped organise the protests across Australia, some of whom are good friends of mine, who've worked for decades to build the BDS, a campaign that I have long supported, I offer my support, and especially I offer it to younger Jewish people who stand up in their own families to reject the dogmatic, racist worldview represented by the Israeli lobby. Today I talk as a journalist and a citizen. And of course, I'm old enough to remember protesting on the streets just down here when we were yelling out, 1, 2, 3, 4, we don't want your fucking war. And here we are again chanting the same thing. Now, I've also been an academic at the University of Technology for 20 years and briefly at Macquarie, UNSW and other universities. And I am absolutely appalled, and Josh has talked a little bit about this, about the repression on universities. Where are the alumni? Where are the ex-academics? We all benefited from a time when protests, when you could occupy, you could even occupy a building, and nobody really did very much. Yes, there was repression then too, but nothing like what we are witnessing today. Only the people particularly strongly about the arrests and repression of the students of Western Sydney, who must build at that university their own tradition of protest, which is at the heart of every university. There's always some protest at universities. And students have played a historic role in many struggles. This code of conduct at Sydney University just took my breath away. The whole thought you can't just go and put up posters and organise a protest is to me actually unthinkable. And yet today in a certain national so-called progressive newspaper, I read a whole article that was pretty much very one-sided, very subjective and had none of any sort of fair representation of the facts in it. That sadly, because I've written in that newspaper, was the Saturday paper. After their pretty much complete silence, they chose to publish that article. If it was any other topic, they'd be spelling out what the problem was with the code of conduct. Because this is about Israel's genocide, we can't talk about that. And then, of course, during the week, there was also some students at UTS. Now, I taught freedom of expression at UTS for 20 years, freedom of expression law. This is the sort of thing we would have debated in class as a type of hypothetical game, actually. And here we have students trying to hand out a leaflet questioning whether the university could have links with the state of Israel that's committing a genocide, and you're not allowed to use the word genocide. Now, this smacks of the thought police. I don't care whether you use the word McCarthyism, which is certainly a style of Stalinism, fascism, It's a form of repression, and we must resist it. And we have to call on all people who care about freedom of expression to resist it. Now, we've been here for 55 weeks. And yes, today's crowd is smaller than it was a few weeks ago, but we will wax and we will wane. But one thing we can tell Chris Minns and Albanese, you had the absolute cheek to suggest that we shouldn't protest a couple of weeks ago, that we will not go away. We will not stop. No, we will not stop. We'll continue to speak out against the ethnic cleansing in our different ways. And we are part of a much bigger world movement. This week I saw images of students at every level of a building in Geneva protesting, occupying. The students who walked out of the Chicago Institute of Art, people beating drums in Sweden, a big march there. And in all these marches there are Muslim, Christian, Jewish, and those of who are not of a religious faith standing together as we must. Now, all lives are equal, but groups are targeted for different reasons. And I'm a journalist, and my job, one of my jobs as a journalist is to report and interpret what is happening on the ground to others who are not there. Now, of course, Israel has prevented international journalists from entering Gaza from day one. But they've also killed more journalists in Gaza than in any conflict over recent decades. Now, the Committee for the Protection of Journalists, which keeps track of these things, has registered at least 128 journalism workers killed over 1 year. But there's also a lot of other suspected killings which are being investigated. And of course, the Palestinian Health Ministry estimates at least 175. So the figure, you know, that probably gets down to who is actually a journalist, etc. Well, we can all be in this situation, and that is what I would urge. Those of us who are professional journalists can be professional journalists. Everybody else needs to be a citizen journalist. Now, the Western media are largely complicit. Although, both in saying that, and I say it in a very serious way because it wouldn't be possible without the complicity of the Western media, at the same time, I don't want to suggest there isn't always a journalist somewhere inside the media who's trying to do their job. And we saw a good example, and if you can just go and find the segment on Media Watch, if you didn't see it, of Paul Barry, who significantly, I think, is doing some of his last reports, some of his best as he exits, but he did a very good report showing the completely horrific images of a 19-year-old boy being burned to death and talked about the lack, shame, yes, shame, and talked about the fact that there was no one there other than the Palestinian journalists who are systematically getting killed to witness it. And then he talked about Lebanon, and the difference there in Lebanon is that there are some serious journalists trying to document the war crimes. But then what did I read yesterday? But Israel has assassinated three journalists in the south of Lebanon, injuring two others. Now that is... Now where is the condemnation? Where are the journalists? You know, when this is a Western journalist, we never hear the end of it. But when these are actually journalists being targeted and assassinated for all to see, somehow we have a silence. Now, another journalist I'd like to also refer to is Sophie McNeil. She used to represent the ABC in the Middle East. She received significant pushback from the Israeli lobby. So she is an independent journalist. She's worked for Greenpeace. I think she's standing for the Greens, actually, in Western Australia. But she still is a journalist at heart. And last night she tweeted that the most senior aid official in the UN is saying that literally in northern Gaza, they are starving the population to death, and the world needs to step in. And meanwhile, we have Biden explicitly, as far as I can see, giving Israel 30 more days to continue to commit a genocide. And in this propaganda war, and this is me speaking, the word terrorism is being used very effectively. And it's something we have to try to cut through and stand up against. Otherwise, I think there's going to be big political consequences. Just over the last few days, we saw great big billboards go up, or over the last few months, but as it came to a height, there was more focus on it in Brisbane, big billboards saying that the Greens were terrorists. When you delved into this, as I have done on michaelwest.com, another independent site, I found not only is that, of course, a lie, but there are very explicit lies being told to people as well. Now, if terrorism means anything to me, it means what Israel is doing every day. Terror. Driving people from place to place, humiliating them, destroying their homes, destroying their hospitals, destroying their schools. That is exactly what terrorism looks like. Now, just in finishing, I just wanted to mention to you, because some people here today may know more about this, and I'm investigating it at the moment. We hear at the moment, for example, right now, we could all be waving Israeli flags. There wouldn't be any problem with that at all, even though they are committing genocide. We can light up the Opera House in the colours of blue and white, and no one's allowed to go and protest against it. But meanwhile, by the Liberal, LNP and Labor Security Committee extended the ban on Hamas and Hezbollah to ban any support for those organisations, both of which are involved in governments, to ban any supportive use of any symbol at all. And then that was actually an exercise, a lawmaking exercise that took about 3 years to accomplish. The Islamic organisations in this city, the pro-Palestinian organisations, were either not consulted at all or explicitly denied. And now we reach a situation where the word terrorism is just being thrown around at people. And this makes me absolutely furious. And I stand with Senator Maureen Faruqi, and also with an author, with Aaron Doity Roy, who I could never possibly write anything as good as what she does. When she was asked about this, I'd just like to, in finishing, quote what she said. I ask you, she said this when she was accepting her Penn 2024 award. I ask you, which of you sitting in this hall would willingly submit to the indignity that Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank have been subjected to for decades? What peaceful means have they not tried? What compromise have they not accepted, other than the one that requires them to crawl on their knees and eat dirt? Israel is not fighting a war of self-defence. It's fighting a war of aggression, a war to occupy more territory, which is exactly what this is about. And so as I was going to bed last night, I tend to flick on to Al Jazeera, and I saw news that, in fact, Israeli settlers, some stage in the last 20 or 48 hours, have broken through the border at North Gaza. I imagine they've retreated for the moment, maybe, and attempted to occupy land. That is what is happening. That is what requires ethnic cleansing. And we must not stop protesting on any account. Thank you very much for listening.